But one of the things that is also in jeopardy right now is our judicial branch, and it's our system of government itself. And I don't think we can say often enough here how much that has been abused under this administration, and with local prosecutors, state prosecutors, and at the federal level, who are using lawfare. They're using our judicial system to go after political opponents. The most obvious example of that, and I think the most egregious one in history, is what is being done to Donald Trump right now. This is yet another week where cable TV has a split-screen image, right? On one side, turn on any news station, you see the partisan prosecutors and the double-standard DOJ going after President Trump. And on the other side, college campuses being wrecked by anti-Semitic mobs. In Manhattan, in the New York case, I mean, it's play-by-play on all the stations, right? That case should never have been brought. If there's ever been an example of lawfare, everybody can look at that and see. The trial is being orchestrated by Democrat supporters of President Biden who are trying to make a name for themselves. I mean, they're pretty open about that. They used it in their campaign pledges. We've got a Democrat district attorney, a Biden donor judge, whose daughter is a Democratic political consultant and has clients that use the case in their solicitation emails to raise money. And now we've learned there's an assistant DA who was recently a top man at the DOJ and received over $10,000 in payments from the Democratic National Committee. This is all wrong. It doesn't matter what political party you're in. You have to look at this. If you look at this objectively, you know deep down that this is wrong. And think about all this in the context of New York. Assaults in New York are at their highest level ever. Crime is through the roof. The DA has decided to bring an 8-year-old bookkeeping charge that rests on the testimony of a long-proven liar and perjurer. And the judge, who is a well-known Democrat, is pursuing an indefensible gag order on President Trump. Now, just think about that. Think about the magnitude of that. He's trying to override President Trump's constitutional right to defend himself against the constant smears of his political opponents in an election year, but not just any election year. The election year that most everyone understands is the most fateful one of our lifetimes. You cannot call yourself a serious judge and threaten a presidential candidate with jail time when he defends his reputation in public in the middle of a campaign. And I think everybody of good conscience understands that. Then we have the classified documents case where President Trump is being treated completely differently from President Biden. Again, this is something that is just obvious that everybody can see. Biden, of course, willfully retained and disclosed classified material. But because he is, quote, an elderly man with a poor memory, unquote, it was decided the DOJ would not be bringing charges. What the American people see, and I mean this is across the country, this isn't just red states, it's blue states as well, they look at this and they see an incredible double standard. It's just blatantly on display. It's the weaponization of our justice system, and every single person of good conscience and common sense can see that clearly. And it's disturbing to them. Why? Because in our system, in a constitutional republic, if the people do not believe that the justice system is fair, that you really do have equal justice under law, then they throw their hands up and they say, what is there to believe in? It's critical. It's a foundational component of maintaining a republic. And they are jeopardizing this for political purposes. Now we're learning that the prosecutors in the Jack Smith case have even engaged in evidence tampering during the raid at Mar-a-Lago. But here's the point. The entire case turns on what happened with those documents. And Jack Smith has admitted that things were not as they should be with the boxes. It just raises very serious questions. And these cases are a coordinated political attack, plain and simple. They are a clear attempt to keep Donald Trump in the courtroom and off the campaign trail. That's what this is. It's an election interference. It is borderline criminal conspiracy, and the American people see right through it. President Trump has done nothing wrong here, and he continues to be the target of endless lawfare. It has to stop. And you're going to see the United States Congress address this in every possible way that we can, because we need accountability. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's bigger than President Trump. It's about the people's faith in our system of justice. And we're going to get down to the bottom of it. All these cases need to be dropped because they are a threat to our entire system.
We've had discussions in the Speaker's office, and right now the ball is in Mike Johnson's court. He understands that he's going to be our Republican Speaker of the House. The things that we've discussed about that got leaked out to the press are very simple, and they serve the American people. They serve the people that gave us the majority, and we're interested to see his actions, not his words.
But what is the time frame here?
That's up to Mike Johnson, and it can't drag out. These are things that have to be done. He's already delivered Joe Biden's agenda. He's delivered everything that Chuck Schumer's asked. If he's capable of doing that with a majority of Republicans controlling the House, I think he's extremely capable about doing the things.
So it sounds like
this is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. President's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
It's Tuesday, 7 May, year of the Lord, 2024. You just heard Mike Johnson go through the litany we've been telling you guys about for the last, I don't know, year or two. And it's fine. He gets up there and reiterates it. We think that's great. But then he says it comes close to a criminal conspiracy and we're going to be doing anything. No, it is a criminal conspiracy and you got to get off your ass and get to work. We want to see subpoenas flying. We're tired of it. And sitting up there and more happy talk. All of this is happy talk. Where's the action? Where are the subpoenas? Where is the beginning of the investigation into the vast criminal conspiracy? And two things today reemphasize my point. What has happened with the judge in Florida, we're about to bring Julie Kelly on for breaking news, and what has gone on in this travesty in Manhattan. First, Julie Kelly, the great Julie Kelly. Julie, you've got breaking news in the classified documents case. Ma'am, what is it?
Oh, sorry. I was typing this out. I'm posting it right now. This is breaking news. So Judge Aileen Cannon has officially vacated the May 20th trial date. We knew that was coming. But she is now refusing to set a new trial date, calling it imprudent. And Steve, in the meantime, though, she is setting key hearings that will make Jack Smith's, what should we say? Give him some sleepless nights, I believe. She is going to be holding hearings on Trump's co-defendant Walt Nauta's motion to dismiss based on selective and vindictive prosecution. She is going to hold a hearing on a motion to dismiss based on the unlawful appointment of Jack Smith. She is also going to hold a hearing, and this is something that DOJ and Jack Smith was really hoping to avoid, and that is a partial evidentiary hearing on the scope of the prosecution team. This is where we got all the bombshell revelations related to collusion with the Biden White House, the DOJ, and the National Archives. She will be holding a partial evidentiary hearing to hear the defense team's argument as to why entities like the Archives, the DOJ, FBI counterintelligence, and the Biden White House, including his general counsel, should be considered part of the prosecution team, meaning then that all of their records related to this investigation from the very beginning would be considered material, discovery material that has to be produced to the defense. She is, in her own way, going on a scorched earth campaign now against Jack Smith.
Okay, let's go back for a couple, just pull the camera back. And a lot of times we have motions to dismiss. The judge just takes it and he rules on. Are you saying making it a hearing is raising it up in a more serious context?
Yes, because there are several defense motions that are outstanding. So you've got three defendants, Trump and his two co-defendants, and they are filing really similar motions, but they're different in their own form. So this is motions to dismiss based on selective vindictive prosecution. Donald Trump has a motion like that. His co-defendant has one as well. And then, of course, the scope of the prosecution team. So to your point, a lot of times a judge can just look at these motions. She doesn't really have to hold a hearing, although she should, and then go ahead and just, you know, deny the motion to dismiss. That is not what she's doing here. She's already held some of these hearings. We've seen these hearings, Donald Trump for his motion to dismiss based on the Presidential Records Act and the unconstitutional vagueness of the statutes against him. We had a similar hearing a few weeks ago for his co-defendants, the same sort of motion to dismiss. So what she's doing is very helpful and instructive and informative, because she's telling both sides, you're going to come into my courtroom, you're going to duke this out. I want to hear both sides, not just read your motions. You're going to have to defend it, and then I will make present my order. So with this May 20th trial date now officially vacated, she is going to hold these evidentiary hearings on these existing outstanding defense motions, and she is going to put Jack Smith and Jay Brett, his lead prosecutor, their feet to the fire and have to explain publicly, defend the selective vindictive prosecution, the potentially unlawful appointment of Jack Smith, and now this bigger issue, I believe, will be a public vetting of the full scope of the prosecution team and all of these federal agencies and the Biden White House involved in this.
Has she set dates? So first off, people should understand, the May 20th trial, which we knew was going to be bumped, is now bumped, but there's no new trial date. She says, okay, we can't get it in May, but I think you can get it at the end of August or September, so it comes before the election. She didn't put a trial date. Is there a schedule that she's put these other either evidentiary hearings or hearings on motions to dismiss? Has she laid that out and given them dates?
Yes, she did. So I'm posting that right now. That's what I was doing before we went on, because this literally just broke 5 minutes ago. So she has set those hearings. I'll be posting that on X. And these hearings will take place over the next few months. I will be covering them. There's one May 22nd, another one, I believe the special counsel one is June 21st, and then the big one, the evidentiary hearing about the scope of the prosecution team. So all of those motions have already been filed. I've already reported on several of them. And she's also going to be holding a sealed hearing tomorrow on the grand jury materials that were not disclosed out of Washington, D.C., transferred to her court. She wants to see all of those materials and then see which ones she believes can also be made public on the docket for the American people to see.
The evidentiary hearing, which to me is the most explosive, talking about the team and who's on the team, and that is scheduled now. Has she scheduled that? Is that scheduled for July or August?
So if you will give me one moment, that hearing is scheduled for between June 24th and June 26th.
Wow.
So that will be.
Because they're going to have meltdown. Andrew Weissman's going to literally, you know, may want to throw himself off a building tonight on MSNBC. Correct. Complete, because they're going to say Judge Cannon ought to be removed. Given where she's laying out the schedule and not putting in a trial date, is there any possibility that this really starts before the November 5th election?
Well, her last date here for the CIPA, which is this Classified Information Procedures Act, which really has been driving really a lot of the grind to this, because there are special rules related to how defendants can and their attorneys can access classified information in espionage cases. So this has helped really slow down the process. So the last hearing on her schedule that she just posted is July 10th. You know, after that, would she set a trial date? Will she grant a motion to dismiss? Will she grant the motion to dismiss based on selective vindictive prosecution? Will she, we're waiting now for a separate order related to her stay on one of these key hearings that she just issued last night. And she's going to be issuing another order. And this will relate to, Steve, what we've been talking about the last few days, what I've been reporting at my Substack, is missing evidence, doctored evidence, tampering with evidence that these defense attorneys cannot access the materials that they need, and that the DOJ has intentionally misrepresented to both the defense attorneys and now Judge Cannon exactly the form of the contents of the boxes that were taken from Mar-a-Lago, how these cover sheets, which we'll talk about, were used as props and then as replacements, and not being able, believe it or not, Steve, in some instances, to match up the replacement cover sheet that they used to take out the classified documents and put that cover sheet in, They're saying in some instances they can't match up that cover sheet with the classified record that they took out of the box.
Julie, just hang on. We're going to take a short commercial break. Julie Kelly, big breaking news in Florida. Andrew Giuliani from New York.
Can your savings weather an economic storm? Think about what you've put away for the future. Inflation can render cash worthless. Real estate can crash like in 2008. Economies built on a mountain of debt can fall like a house of cards. There are very few physical assets you can invest in that can stand the test of time. Gold has withstood this as a valued form of money for millennia. I actually think for 8,000 years of man's recorded history. It's why people are flocking to it now, why Birch Gold is busier than ever. Through a little-known tax loophole, Birch Gold lets you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA in physical gold. And the best part, it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. Let me repeat that. It doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. To learn more about this, to immerse yourself in information, text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold. Let me ask you this again. Can your IRA or 401k weather an economic storm? Because a storm's coming. If it can't, call the people I trust. That's Birch Gold. Text Bannon to 989898. Secure your savings today. Birch Gold Group.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
A turbulent times. You need a still point in the turning world. One of those is obviously the world room, where we only focus on signal, not noise. Julie Kelly's with us. We're going to go, the great Julie Kelly, I might add, who called this shot a long time ago. We're going to get back into what's happening in this fiasco against President Trump in Florida, the classified documents case. We're then going to go Andrew Giuliani. One of the most shameful days in the history of American jurisprudence took today in a New York court. We're going to get to that in a second. I still point your turning world in your financial life, too. That's why I go to Birch Gold. Don't take it from me. Talk to Philip Patrick and the team at Birch Gold. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Talk to Philip Patrick. They got all kind of tax deferred, tax exempt instruments to talk to you about how you shift your 401ks and IRAs over to precious metals. But just talk to them. They got a team of experts. They love the war room posse. They get compliments all the time from you folks. So make sure you go there, birchgold.com/Bannon. Also, you get the free end of the dollar empire. Do that today. Julie Kelly, you've been on this. Mike Davis has been on this. Tom Fitton. I mean, you guys have done extraordinary work. Help me out here, because I'm not a lawyer. Judge Cannon has put a shot across the bow of Jack Smith, like the Judiciary Committee in the House, Mike Johnson, Kevin McCarthy, nobody's done. This today was a throwdown to say, hey, look, tough guys, we're going to have some hearings here. You're going to have to roll out some evidence. We may have a 3-day evidentiary hearing, but you're going to explain to me as a federal judge exactly what in the hell is going on here and what you guys have been doing. Am I overstating her case, ma'am?
Absolutely not. She is doing the heavy lifting. She is taking the slings and arrows. She has to endure not only serious death threats that resulted in the imprisonment of a woman who made such serious death threats that now she's in jail for 3 years for it, but the constant drumbeat. And you're going to hear this tonight. Everyone on MSNBC, CNN, Andrew Weissman, Barbara McQuaid, Joyce Vance, everyone is going to just be caterwauling. Judge Cannon needs to step down. She won't set this trial date. Well, no. We know why they've wanted since the very beginning to get her off of this case, because they suspected, and she continued to hint and suggest, and that has accelerated over the past few months, that she was going to use her position, do her job, actually, Steve, as a judge should. Number one, make sure that the interests of both parties are balanced, that the rights of the defendants are protected, and that she prevents the government from abusing its authority and overreach. That is what she's doing. And so with this shot across the bow today, and there's more to come this week, as I said, vacating the trial date, saying she won't set a new one, but what looks like a steady drip of a mini trial where Jack Smith is going to be the defendant and not Donald Trump. He now, it appears, is in a way, and I'm not saying this is her motive because I'm not in her head. I don't talk to her. I don't know her. But this is her way of putting the government, DOJ, Jack Smith, and Jay Brett on the hot seat. You have to explain to me, Judge Cannon, why I should not consider the National Archives, the Biden White House, including his general counsel, the counterintelligence unit of the FBI, other entities. You have to tell me why they're not part of the prosecution team when we have records dating back from May of 2021 about how this was all coming together. She specifically asked, and this is why she is very good at what she does. She specifically asked Jay Brat at a hearing in March, can you tell me when the DOJ started their investigation into this? And Jay Brat said February of 2022. That's not true. Because the DOJ, now we know from this prosecution, the scope of prosecution team motion that will be the source of this hearing in June. We now know that the DOJ was involved beginning in the spring of 2021, that the National Archives General Counsel, Gary Stern, was already in informal talks with the DOJ so they could concoct this case against Donald Trump before he even turned over boxes to the National Archives. So now they have all these records. So he flat out, again, just like he did at the last hearing, lied to Judge Cannon. She knows that he's lying. One of my favorite moments, Steve, this is how much Judge Cannon is on to Jay Brat and Jack Smith. Jay Brat was about to answer a question, and she looked at him, cut him off, and said, try not to say something sarcastic. And he said, oh, I would never say anything sarcastic. And she just gave him a glare like you wouldn't believe. She is fed up with this. She knows how bad this case is. It's getting worse related to tampering with evidence, missing evidence, doctored evidence. And so now she is, she's turning the tables. You're right. This is what the House Republicans should have been doing to the extent that they can. They have completely put this in Judge Cannon's lap. She's handling it as well as she can. But it does highlight the abdication of duty that House Republicans have been engaged in since, you know, they took power now a year and a half ago.
Look, you're a steady pair of hands. You know, I'm a Mick that gets a little hot on this topic. But it's not the judge's responsibility. The House Judiciary Committee is supposed to have oversight. The Weaponization Committee is supposed to very specifically have oversight. Even the Oversight Committee of the federal agency. But Judiciary, it is in their charter. Why was this not done a year ago? We could have been a year ahead of this and brought this up about what a dirty case this is and how corrupt these individuals are. Judge Cannon is, I think, proving right now she's one of the most spectacular judges and fair judges on the in the entire federal bench. But why is the burden put on her? Why didn't we? And why? You heard Johnson today. He's going, well, it looks like a criminal conspiracy. It's obviously a criminal conspiracy, but the way you show that is to investigate and subpoena people, Julie Kelly.
That's exactly right. I mean, I know that now they have subpoenaed Dana Remus, the general counsel, who was meeting with National Archive officials through 2021. So they finally subpoenaed her. They've also subpoenaed other Biden White House officials, or not subpoenaed, asked them to sit for a transcribed interview. Okay, so then they don't. The DOJ is, of course, naturally, and the Biden White House is naturally objecting to that, refusing to allow these officials to sit for interviews or respond to a subpoena. But that seems to be the most of what we get. And so, yes, you're right. Why is it defense attorneys who are uncovering and having to FOIA federal agencies to get some of these exhibits that were used in this motion, this critical motion about the scope of the prosecution team? Why haven't Republicans forced that sort of information to be produced to investigative committees?
Why is it Julie Kelly, Tom Fitton, Mike Davis, John Solomon, these independent investigators, they're doing it because they want to present the American people to what your actual facts are in the news is. But people have, you know, institutions, they talk about institutionalists. Institutions are supposed to do this to make sure that the institution goes forward and does its job. This is the problem. The problem is that people have taken this on outside and been able to present this. It's why we know what the facts are in this heroic judge down in Florida. Thank God she exists. And tonight she's going to get eviscerated on MSNBC. Andrew Weissman, we'll cut clips from our Julie. yeoman's work as usual. Where can people go to get all your Substacks, your Twitter, everything, because you're breaking news nonstop in this?
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me on again. Declassified with Julie Kelly is my Substack. I also have a very detailed report at Real Clear Investigations about the timeline in 2021 leading up to this classified documents case. And of course, I'm on Twitter a lot, Julie_Kelly2, where I post a lot of breaking news. Like I just posted this new order by Judge Cannon, and we'll be waiting for her next order in response to Jack Smith's confession about tampered evidence and even in some cases, missing evidence.
Unbelievable. Julie Kelly, we look forward to having you back on about the evidence, the tampered evidence and missing evidence. Outrageous. I told you times of turbulence is only get worse between now and Election Day. This is why My Patriot Supply, go to My Patriot Supply, the number one company in this area of preparation. You don't have to be a prepper if you are, fantastic. But if you're not, they've got consultants ready to answer the phone. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Do it today. The number one company in the business. Do we have the cold open for Andy Giuliano? Let's go ahead and play. We got Andrew Giuliano's place cold open.
As we're describing this as, you know, some kind of a inter-court street brawl, the words that were used again, a grilling and heated, all I can think of, Amy, is if Susan Nicholas is being aggressive, Donald Trump is enjoying it.
Oh, yeah, he's really enjoying it. And he's saying, OK, this is what I came here for. This is what I want. This is sort of rallying his base like he loves to do. He loves to say, you know, this is all BS. I'm not here. You know, this is political. You know, this is what they did to me. And he is like letting them roll the tape and show that he is in the right. And all of the circus, if you will, is sort of playing out. And he's going to use that to his benefit, as he always does, and say, look what happened today. She wasn't even supposed to talk about this stuff. She talked about it. And here we are. And so I think all of this, he's going to use that to his benefit.
There should be an absolute mistrial this afternoon on this. And it was right. It was a brawl inside the courtroom. President Trump's defense team really went at it with the judge and with the prosecution. Andrew Giuliani, we got about 30 seconds. Tee us up. You're going to hold through the break. Tee us up what happened today. The street brawl inside a Manhattan court.
Yeah, exactly. You even had, coming right out of the break, Blanche, the president's attorney, asking for a mistrial, saying that they completely went off the guardrails. And also the judge stopped it at a very inopportune time for Stormy Daniels and the prosecution's case. I'll bring that right to you on the other side of this, Steve.
Hang with me, Andrew Giuliani. Andrew is down. He's been in the court all day. David Zier's down there. Real America's Voice, wall-to-wall coverage. We told you the purpose of this case, because they've never even laid out a crime. The purpose of the case is to smear President Trump. We're going to get all into it. Todd Benzman's also got a lot of things going on in Gaza, bringing hundreds of thousands of refugees here. Make sure HomeTitleLock.com. Do not let the bad guys get their hands on your title and take out a hard money second mortgage. A couple of $100,000 at these rates. Think you can pay it? HomeTitleLock.com/Bannon. Go there. Immerse yourself today.
Most emergencies come without warning. And when the next one comes, you won't have time to pack and to prepare. You need to get ready now before an emergency strikes. Your supplies should be ready to grab and go right away. Secure these supplies right now at MyPatriotSupply.com. Start with the 4-week emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply, helping millions of Americans, and I mean millions of Americans, prepare. Since 2008, My Patriot Supply are experts in self-reliance and preparation. Their 4-week emergency food kits offer over 2,000 calories every day. Protected by heavy-duty, 4-layer packaging, these kits last up to 25 years. Let me repeat that, 25 years. Sealed inside rugged, handled buckets, they're made to grab and go quickly. Now go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save $50 right now per kit. They ship fast and they ship free in unmarked boxes. Save $50 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com. Take action on this today. Go over there. They're the best in the business. Talk to the consultants. MyPatriotSupply.com.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, so for Mike Johnson, all the people that are around Mike Johnson, understand something. We're not going to relent. We're not going to relent. Look at what's happening in this case in Florida. It's a disgrace. Look what's happening in the case in Georgia. It's a disgrace. Look at the J6, and we're going to get Cash on here in the next hour to talk about the New York Times article about the National Guard. When you hear what Cash has to say, the whole J6 committee, everything on the insurrection about Trump's insurrection is a joke, a sick joke. And what happened in Manhattan today may be the most perverted and sick of all, because this is to destroy a man, one of the greatest presidents this country's ever had. They unveiled their strategy. There's no crime. There hasn't been any talk of any crime. I really want to thank Parker Sig and Rob Sig and Real America's Voice for providing this. Harry, the entire team. You've got David Zier, Ben Burkham, done an amazing job. Andrew Giuliani's with us. Andrew, you're a New Yorker through and through. I never thought that a courtroom, particularly, forget that he's president of the United States, a courtroom would turn into basically a brawl because of what the prosecution's trying to do. They don't have a case, and they're trying to smear Trump in front of the nation. Andrew Giuliani.
Yeah, this is a complete smear trial. And that's actually right when the court resumed in the afternoon. That's exactly what Blanche said when he was asking for a mistrial. Steve, I rarely read, but I think this is very important. Blanche said that the alleged incident in 2006 is so far outside the realm of the case, has nothing to do with this case, is extraordinarily prejudicial, and the only reason the prosecution asked the question is to smear the defendant, Donald Trump. Blanche continued, Stormy Daniels has inserted safety concerns in a case about business records. Again, about business records. And Blanche, when requesting the mistrial, also said, I think you, the judge, knew there could be prejudicial testimony, hence you put up the guardrails. This is not what we heard today from Stormy Daniels. The prosecution has completely gone off the rails, and there is no remedy for the defense. The judge said that he agreed that Daniels had gone outside some of those guardrails that he had set, but disagreed that mistrial was warranted at this point, saying the cross-examination would be the best opportunity here for the defense to make their case. And I have to tell you, at the very end of the day, you had probably the best part of cross-examination that I've seen so far by Susan Nicholas when she got Stormy Daniels to admit that Stormy Daniels, to be honest, if I could get the story out and make some money doing it, then yes, I would. It's the first time that Stormy Daniels showed a motive, a monetary motive. Steve, as soon as she said that, within 30 seconds, the judge said, we've had enough for today. Excuse the jury. I thought that was a real opportunity. That was at 4:26 in the afternoon. It could have gone on for another half hour. There was a real opportunity for the defense to actually go and continue to make that point and make that case. The jury will have to sleep on that. The defense will have to sleep on that. And they'll continue to cross-examine Stormy Daniels tomorrow morning.
I just wonder, for the audience that doesn't follow this as closely as we do, is that this commercial transaction or this alleged business thing in the ledger, part of it has to do around Stormy Daniels. Obviously, part of it allegedly has to do with Stormy Daniels, allegedly has to do with the Playmate Bunny. But the judge actually told the correct me if I'm wrong, the judge told the prosecution, none of the details of the alleged event are actually mean anything to the is he guilty or not, to actually the facts of the trial. She went out of her way, and the prosecution had to go out of her way to try to put salacious detail in there. And the judge, even a couple of times, realizing this was heading to a mistrial, didn't he jump in a couple of times during the day and say, whoa, you can't say this, you can't do this?
Yeah, he did. In the morning when the prosecution called Stormy Daniels, they basically went into all of the alleged salacious detail that Stormy Daniels claimed happened back in 2006, far beyond the guardrails that the judge immediately cited, the judge set actually for this case. And that was what Blanche's mistrial request was based off of right there, Steve. So the judge realized that Stormy Daniels went way beyond this. Blanche even said that we have no remedy for the jury right now. You would have to rule a mistrial. And if you were to have another trial, you'd have to exclude this witness. The judge agreed that they went outside those guardrails that he set, didn't think a mistrial was actually warranted. But Steve, I have to tell you, in looking at all this and big picture, And while I keep my eye on this jury, hoping that there are a couple of unbiased jurors in there, if there are no unbiased jurors and they've all made their decision before any fact was presented, I think what Blanche did today and Stormy Daniels' testimony to the prosecution speaks very, very strongly on appeal.
Let me ask you, the prosecution has been working with Stormy Daniels for a year for this testimony. Do you believe, and I'm asking for a judgment call, that they wanted this to get in there, or do you think Stormy Daniels is just too hard to control?
No, the prosecution absolutely wanted this to get in there. They want to, for lack of a better term, smut shame Donald Trump. That's exactly what everything that the prosecution has basically asked at this point, outside of some of the records, some of the phone records that they asked Davidson. But with regards to Stormy Daniels, they want all the salacious details, and they want to present to the jury basically a sexual encounter instead of actually any type of a criminal case. And I think they want the jury to make a morality call rather than actually a call on the facts of the case here. And the truth is, the American people made a morality call on November 8th of 2016. Steve, I think you had a pretty darn good view because I saw you standing right next to President Trump when he walked down the Hilton or the Sheraton, I forget which one it was, as the 45th president of the United States.
It was the Hilton, and people didn't care about this other stuff. They cared they're losing their country. Real quickly, I just want to repeat, because we're all over Mike Johnson, these guys, about these terrible trials, totally rigged. But the prosecutors not having a crime are building a narrative that Trump's a terrible person, he's a scumbag, and to present it and make sure enough of it gets out so the American people, particularly the women in suburbs, can see that he's unworthy to be the president. That is the entire direction here that you're seeing from the prosecution?
100%. This is not a case trying to explain to a jury why a defendant has committed a particular crime. I mean, Steve, there still is no underlying felony in all of this. Whatever is alleged is a potential misdemeanor, and the statute of limitations has expired on this. What this is all about, Steve, is getting this information out there for the suburban moms and trying to basically paint President Trump as this serial philanderer, somebody that is not worthy of their vote. We know that the judge will not allow Tara Reid's name to be made up, but it is a pretty interesting comparison when you think about what she has actually claimed and how the media has no concerns whatsoever. Steve, one other point from my perspective that I found really fascinating. As Stormy Daniels was making the salacious claims that she was, you could hear the clicking of the keyboards was nonstop. You could hear from all of the media. Once the cross-examination began and it got into more of the detail of asking about actually what she had said in this point versus what she had said in that point, what her motivations were, there was a fraction of the actual clicking of the keyboard from the mainstream media than was when the salacious detail was out there. I think that tells you everything that you need to know, and it lets you know that the media is a very key player in what the prosecution is doing.
This is so important why we got you in the courtroom. Andrew Giuliani, what's your social media? Where do they go? How do they follow you? How do they get to your new show?
At Andrew H. Giuliani, and we were live tweeting everything. I don't know, Steve, we must have sent out 150, 200 tweets already just this afternoon. So feel free to keep an eye on that. We'll do the same thing tomorrow and keep doing it as this Moscow show trial continues.
Andrew, thank you so much for doing this. Make sure Grace and Captain Ben, everybody, let's get Andrew's Twitter feed up so everybody can see it. Incredible. Thank you, brother. This is why, come on. This is open and shut. Johnson, and we're going to keep the bandit to the back. We're not going to let up. Either get it done or let's call the vote this afternoon. Let's call it tonight. Let's call it tomorrow morning. This is outrageous. President Trump's being crucified across the nation, and nobody is stepping up and having his back except for independent investigators. Why is that? And yes, they're doing some things. Jordan's doing something. You see another letter, another sternly worded letter, bang, bang, bang. We need an official investigation. We need the subpoenas to fly. We need it to fly today. You know why this illegitimate regime that is now holding 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue hostage? Let's bring in Todd Benson. Do I have Todd? Todd, major story up in the New York Post by you. My head blew up when I read it. Tell me exactly what the Biden regime is trying to do in Gaza and to bring it Gaza here to the United States of America, sir.
They're pitching this idea to bring a bunch of Gaza war refugees into the United States. I'm thinking they're doing this because they're trying to appease this alienated, hard, progressive left wing that's mad at them right now over Israel's retaliatory war against Hamas. But my point in the article today and the editorial is that these are exactly the kind of population that you do not ever want to bring into the United States for any reason whatsoever, because from cradle to grave, Hamas at every level of civil society in the Strip has been indoctrinating them in murder, death, dehumanizing Jews and Christians, U.S. hate, especially right now. This is the terrible time to be bringing in a population that has been so thoroughly for decades indoctrinated in the dark arts of murder and jihad. And I'm talking about children, you know, going to summer camp, Hamas summer camps, and where they learn how to shoot weapons and prepare to be conscripted into Hamas's armed forces, and watching, you know, children's television shows that feature big stuffed animals that are teaching them how to kill and murder and encouraging them to become suicide bombers. The whole society is structured to teach its population to kill. And that's just a huge problem, not to mention that all the polling of Gazans, and I mean independent good polling, shows that they absolutely hate America at huge, overwhelming majorities. I'm not saying that, you know, every Gazan is a terrible person. I say that it's just a matter of probabilities and numbers, and you have to consider those sort of things when you're assessing Homeland Security.
By the way, you know this. You've worked in intelligence down there. You've dedicated your life to the southern border and stopping these. You wrote the best book on jihad in the southern border. What is the mechanism that Biden hopes to use, and at what scale are we talking about? Let's talk about the mechanism. How does he, because you're the one that's outed them on everything they've tried to do in advance. What are they going to try to do here?
Well, they're going to bring what they want to do is use the a longstanding law, refugee law, to anoint individuals, mostly families, especially people who might have a relative already in the U.S. The way the White House spokesman put it a couple days ago was he framed it as, we're going to be bringing, you know, sick Gazan children here for medical treatment. But not mentioning that they're also going to be bringing that little sick child's whole family in with them as a refugee. Now, refugees, when you get that status, qualify for a green card within a year, and then that counts towards citizenship. Yeah. So they get 4 more years before they get U.S. citizenship. My argument is, you know, why do you have to do this? It's unnecessary. They hate America by and large. They're indoctrinated in all of these dark families.
Todd, just hang on 1 second. We're going to take a short commercial break. Todd Benzman, they're trying to bring Gazans here to the United States as refugees.
Have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and veggies may actually lower, let me repeat that, lower your risk of cancer. Now, hopefully, you're motivated enough to run out the store and get 5 full servings of fruits and veggies. Okay, let's get back to reality. You're not going to do that. That's why you must consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor-selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. Will Field of Greens prevent or cure cancer? No. But it's so powerful, it promises at your next checkup that your doctor will notice your improved health, or you get your money back. Let me repeat that. If your doctor can't sit there and say, hey, I can see that you're actually in better health. You're improving. You get your money back. I got you 15% off and free rush shipping. So visit fieldofgreens.com today and use promo code Bannon for your discount. That's promo code Bannon at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, and you get a money back guarantee.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
The pre-kinetic part of the Third World War is happening on these campuses right now. It's starting to spill over into Times Square, to other areas of the cities. It's going to be the Democratic convention. You're going to have a whole hot summer funded by the Tides Organization, Soros, the CCP, Qatar. You see what's going on. Now, Biden's finally revealing they're going to bring from war-torn Gaza people who absolutely despise the United States. And I'm not blaming these little kids. They're formed. The formation is to hate the Jews and to take down Israel and the great state in the United States of America. Those are just the facts. You cannot bring that here to the United States. We've got enough problems right now. Americans are struggling enough. We don't need that. And I got to tell you, this is another reason they should cut these budgets, another reason they should tell Biden, these guys right now, you're not getting a penny for any of this. None. Zero. Todd, what scale they're going to try to do it? Because they're going to pull every lever in the world. Now, I think you make a good point. The reason you wrote this piece in the New York Post, they're trying to raise a trial balloon, and Todd Benzman and others are going to try to shoot it down right now and let people know that they take a hard line. How dangerous is this situation? You wrote the number one book on jihad to bring the Gazan war, the Muslim Brotherhood war, here to the United States, sir.
Right. Well, we don't really know. They're not telling us how many they're thinking of bringing in. I mean, but they could bring in thousands, ultimately. I have reports in my email basket right now from people who say that they're seeing Gazans come in right now. They could already. I don't have that confirmed. I'm just saying that it could be happening already, which might be another reason why they are announcing this quote proposal. And they talked about it, the White House press secretary, yesterday. And, you know, listen, the point here is that you can help the Gazan war refugees from afar very well. Send the mercy ship over there. Send doctors, send aid, send humanitarian aid. You don't have to help facilitate their transfer to safer neighborhoods like in Jordan.
This is the whole reason that pier is being built. The pier is being built not just to get supplies in, it's to get people out away from the Israelis stopping it. This is where you're going to start to see the refugees into Europe, and they're coming to the United States. So, Todd, what would you argue that the Republican House has to do immediately? They just can't sit around and be feckless and hapless like they have been. And they've underwritten all of this. All of the NGOs, all of it, as Todd Benzman's gone through time and time again, the invasion of the country is underwritten by the taxpayers, the very people it's set to destroy. What would be, if you got a 30 seconds or a minute with Johnson, what would you tell him?
Well, first of all, if it's a trial balloon and they're not already bringing in, fire at it. Let people know that this is going to be a problem. If you think it's a problem, then you got to let it be known that this is a national security problem on the one hand. And on the other hand, if people hate America, which all the polling, there's independent good polling that goes back years and years on that population, that the overwhelming majority hates America, probably not 100%, but you can't vet for that sort of thing. People that hate you, you don't want to bring them in. I'm sorry, you don't have to bring them in. And there's the purse string. So, you know, try to find a way to work the purse strings, withhold this or that, stand in the way, gum things up if you don't like the proposal. There are some things that you can do, but ultimately it is a White House prerogative to, they've lifted the refugee cap already. That's already done. They plan to bring in more and more refugees.
This another reason Biden should be turfed out. If you want any other reason for the African American, the Hispanic community, the Asian American community, these inner cities to bring these refugees in, it's going to be your problem, and they don't care. Todd, you wrote the number one book on jihad at the border. Walk me through, where do people get your writings? Where do they get this article that just came up, the editorial on the New York Post, and where do they get your social media?
Well, the piece in the Post just went up about an hour ago. It's fresh, so you can probably see it up there on their site. I'm at toddbensman.com. I work for the Center for Immigration Studies, CIS.org, great organization. You can sign up on my newsletter. It's free there to get all my publications as they post. I've been pretty prolific lately, so I am filling up some email boxes right now. So,
doing an amazing job. We're all over this. We knew Biden was going to try to pull the stunt. Todd, thank you. Thank you for coming on as soon as you got the article up. We always like to be the firstest with the mostest. Mike Lindell is going to join us in a second. I'm very serious about not just the end of the dollar empire and the new to get the new free fifth installment, but you owe it to yourself and you owe it to your family to look at gold as a hedge. If you think that times are turbulent now, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get so much worse before it gets better. And it's only going to get better if you keep your shoulder to the wheel. Look at what you've just done the last couple of days about getting the focus on the vast criminal conspiracy against President Trump. You saw it, Peter Navarro, a guy in for a misdemeanor in a federal prison. They won't let Gates talk to him because he's too notorious. Mike Lindell, you had a home run this morning. People, we come in so hot and so hard, and we got Mike Davis, Cash Patel, and Natalie Winters here in studio with me. The other two, the next hour is going to be intense before Lou Dobbs, before John Solomon. Where do people go to get these deals of MyPillow, sir?
Well, everybody, we're doing we're actually taking some products over from mystore.com because they were so successful over there. By the way, you can use the promo code WARROOM over there for all these great entrepreneurs at mystore.com. But one of the ones that we're doing, we started this morning, you get a free With God, All Things Are Possible. That's my blind painter friend. We made it into a roll-and-go, multi-use MyPillow, free with any purchase. You guys can start collecting the whole series. This is exclusive to the War Room posse. Use promo code War Room. Go to MyPillow.com. And when you get there, you're going to see all of these specials. And one of the new ones is the USA Socks. The USA Socks, these guys are amazing entrepreneurs that were over at my store. I bought all of their supply of these socks, so you get them as low as $375. They're the best socks I've ever worn in my life. I'm telling you, there's nothing better. We did our due diligence on these great entrepreneurs. All these specials, $25 for the My Slippers and Sandals. You got $25 for the Buy One, Get One Free on the MyPillow 2.0. But you've got all these great specials using promo code WARROOM. Get your free With God, All Things Are Possible, MyPillow today with any purchase. 800-873-1062. Those stay-at-home moms and dads will love the War Room Posse, Steve. They work off commission, you guys. Help them out.
MyPillow.com, promo code WARROOM. We'll see you tomorrow morning. We're going to leave you with a shot from the command station here in the West Palm Beach studio of Real America's Voice. Stick around for the second hour. Natalie Winters joined me in studio. Cash Patel, Mike Davis, next in the War Room.
Right now, millions of Americans face prescription medication shortages. The FDA's medication shortage list currently has over 120 prescription medications listed. Some patients are being forced into more expensive substitutes, while others are rationing what little medication they have left. Don't get caught unprepared. That's why I want you to pick up a Jace case today. The Jace case is a pack of essential antibiotics that can treat a long list of common bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory and skin infections, plus much more. And each case can be customized for your specific needs with dozens of add-on options. Just fill out a simple online form and Jace handles the rest. From the online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery and ongoing care, visit jacemedical.com and use code Bannon at checkout for an extra discount. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Get the Jace case and get it today. Action, action, action.
Go there today. If you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.